This morning, I'd like you to take your Bibles and turn to the book of Luke. Luke chapter 2. We'll be looking at verses 8 through 20. Luke chapter 2, verses 8 through 20. Yes, this is the Christmas story. But specifically, it's the message of Christmas. Luke chapter 2, verses 8 through 20, the message of Christmas. The message of Christmas is good news that Jesus Christ, the Savior of the world, was born to give us hope. He's born to give us peace. He was born to give us salvation. This message is just not about Christmas because it's Christmas time. It's for eternity. It's for every day in our lives. But before we read God's word, let's go to the Lord in prayer. Heavenly Father, Lord, we just thank you for your unspeakable gift. We thank you, Lord, for loving us, that you would send your Son to die on the cross for us. Father, help us, Lord, to not miss the message of Christmas. Help us, Lord, to do what you want us to do, Lord, and leave here changed. Have your Holy Spirit have full reign here today. Take away all distractions. Find Satan on our behalf. Father, if someone does not know you, Lord, here or on the internet, Lord, I just pray that today would be the day that they would receive the best gift of all, which is salvation. We ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen. We're going to pick up the Christmas story with the shepherds. It says here in verse 8, it says, "And there was in the same country shepherds abiding in the field, keeping watch of their flock by night. And lo, the angel of the Lord came upon them, and the glory of the Lord shone round about them, and they were sore afraid. And the angel said unto them, Fear not, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. And this shall be a sign unto you. Ye shall find the babe wrapped in swaddling clothes, lying in a manger." And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly host, praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill toward men." And it came to pass, as the angels were gone away from them into heaven, the shepherds said one to another, "Let us now go even unto Bethlehem, and see this thing which has come to pass, which the Lord hath made known unto us." And they came with haste, and found Mary and Joseph and the babe lying in a manger. And when they had seen it, they made known abroad the saying which was told them concerning this child. And all they that heard it wondered at those things which were told them by the shepherds. I want to pause here for a second. People listened to the shepherds. They heard that something had happened. The message of Christmas had already been proclaimed. Not by just the angels, but by men. We're here today to proclaim that message of Christmas. Last 2 weeks ago, we talked about the doubts of Christmas. Mary doubted how this could be. Joseph doubted how it could be. People that waited for hundreds of years for Christ to come say, "How long will it be?" Verse 19 says this, "But Mary kept all these things and pondered them in her heart." She didn't understand. And there's a lot of people that don't understand about Christmas today. They don't understand the message. And it has no effect on them. And the shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all the things that they had heard and seen as it was told unto them. The message of Christmas is a message of good news. Good news, a message of good news, is refreshing. You know, we always say, "I got some good news and I got some bad news. Which you want to hear?" "Oh, give me the bad news first." Because when you hear the bad news, it makes the good news feel that much what? Better. We live in a world today that there's not much good news. But Proverbs chapter 25, verse 25 says this. It says, as water, cold waters to a thirsty soul, so is good news from a far country. A message of good news should be refreshing. And I hope that this message today will be refreshing to you. However, the message of good news is revealing. The reason is whether or not you accept it. Whether or not it changes your behavior. Or you reject it. 2 weeks ago when we went through the doubts, in Luke chapter 2 verse 35, the angel was talking to Mary and said, yea, a soul shall pierce through thy also, also that the thoughts of many hearts may be revealed. We've heard this week of terrible tragedies at a Christian school, at a Christmas market in Germany. And then I heard about another one just yesterday. And the issue is that the message of good news is not making a change because people reject it and they don't accept it. The man's heart stays evil continually. See, what you do with this good news reveals what you really think and how you really live. The message of good news is revealing that you accept it. It changes you. If you reject it, it makes things worse. God's message of Christmas should be renewing. It should give us hope. It should give us peace. It brings salvation. So this morning I want to look at what this good news brings us. What the message of Christmas brings us this morning. First of all, it brings us a message of hope. It brings us hope in the presence. In the present. In verse 11 it says, for unto you is born this day. In the city of David, a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. To the shepherds, it was a present hope. A hope that's bigger than our darkness. The Old Testament prophecy in Isaiah chapter 9, verse 2, it says, the people that walked in darkness have seen a great light. They that dwell in the land of the shadow of death, upon them hath the light shined. There's a change coming. And a change has been made. And the shepherds get to hear it. And it caused light to shine in their hearts. There was angels, and angels are bright. There was a star, and stars guide you. The message of Christmas is a message of hope, and hope for the present. It's bigger than the darkness that you're in today. It's bigger than our disillusionments that we have. In Psalm 39, verses 6 and 7, it says, surely every man walketh in a vain show. Surely they are disquieted in vain. He heapeth up riches and knoweth not who shall gather them. People just work for themselves and they think that they can get security in physical things. Now, Lord, what wait I for? My hope is in thee. See, it's a message of hope. It's hope for the present, which is bigger than your present darkness. Bigger than your present delusion, disillusionment. It's hope in God's promise. I am so glad that we have a God. In Him all promises are yea. And amen. He doesn't break a promise. It's a timeless hope. In Titus chapter 1, verse 2, it says, "In hope of eternal life, which God, that cannot lie, promised before the world began." This message of Christmas came to being before the world was even created. Before mankind even was on the earth. Before Adam and Eve even sinned. God wanted to give hope. Amen. The same one that said, "Let there be light." He says, "Let there be light in your present darkness today. Let there be light in your disillusionment today." It's a tantalizing hope. You know, we like things that tantalize and motivate us. 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 3 says this, "Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, which according to His abundant mercy hath begotten us again into a what? A lively hope. By the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead." Oh, Christ was born to die. We're all born to die. But as we were talking about at Elsie's funeral yesterday, we were using the story of Dorcas. Peter, through God's power, brought Dorcas back to life. Elsie is in the presence of heaven. Christ right now in heaven. And we all have the hope of resurrection today. And that ought to cause us to be motivated. That ought to cause us to have a lively hope. It's a hope that's total. It should be in every part of your being. Romans chapter 15, verse 13, it says, "Now the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace in believing, that you may abound in hope through the power of the Holy Ghost." The message of Christmas is a message of hope for the present. It's a message of hope for God's promise. It's a message of hope for the future. For the future. It gives us a destination. You know, the issue is you can't get to where you want to go unless you know where you are right now. And the issue is, when you run a race, you run to the finish line because you have a goal in place. And we need in this life to prepare for what's going to happen after this life. And we know there's a destination out there. It's one of two places. Oh, the message of Christmas is a message that your destination could be heaven. John chapter 14, verses 2 and 3, it says, "In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there you may be also." Oh, that's the message of Christmas. The message of Christmas is that mankind can have an eternal destination with God in the future. We just trust in Him. Not only is it hope for the future in a destination, it's hope for a future in deliverance. Mm-hmm. Revelation chapter 21, verse 4 says, "And God shall wipe away all tears from their eyes." There were a lot of tears yesterday. You know, Elsie suffered from Parkinson's and arthritis and all sorts of things. But she's not suffering anymore. Mm-hmm. And that gives hope. That gives hope. It says, "God shall wipe away all tears from their eyes, and there shall be no more death, neither sorrow nor crying, neither shall there any more pain." Oh, I would love that. You wake up in the morning hurting. My back hurts, my knee hurts, my ankle hurts. You all can relate to that, right? There'll be no more pain. For the former things are past. Oh, the message of Christmas is a message of hope. It's a message for the future, hope for the future. Because it's a destination, it's a deliverance. And then it should give us a determination. An ability to get through the darkness that we're living in right now. An ability to get through the disillusionments that we have in life. The loss of integrity, the loss of character, the loss of morals. Romans 8, verse 18, Paul writes, he says, "For I reckon that the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory which shall be revealed in us." Oh, the message of Christmas is a message of hope. Hope for the present. Hope of God's promise coming true. And hope for the future. Hope for the future. It's a message of harmony. It's a message of peace. The angel said, verse 18, "And on earth peace, goodwill." The little baby in the manger represents a reconciliation between man and God. Romans chapter 5, verse 1, it says, "Therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ." You know, we all have relationships, and there's all people around us. There's just no peace. You can't get reconciled. Those are bad, but the most important one is, are you reconciled with God? What the message of Christmas is all about, that you can be reconciled. We're justified by faith in what God's promise was. We justify by faith in our darkness. We're justified by faith by hoping for the future. And it gives us a relation. We're related to God because now we're joint heirs with Christ if we believe in Him. And we're all brothers and sisters in Christ. One of the things that was pointed out when people were talking about Elsie was that when they met Elsie, it was like they became part of their family. And Elsie was like that. When we meet Christ, we become part of the family. And we're all related. All those who believe in Christ, we have a common bond because we have a common future. We have a common destination, a common deliverance. Ephesians chapter 2, verse 14 says, "For He is our peace, who hath made both one and hath broken down the middle wall of partition between us." Talking about Jews and Gentiles. But later in Galatians, Paul writes and says, "There's neither Jew nor Greek, bond nor free, male or female, but all is one in Christ." You know what the world needs today? It's God. It needs Christ that take care of all the problems that we're having right now. Because we become submissive to Him. Brings peace between God and man. We're reconciled, we're related to Him as a joint heir. It brings peace in the heart of believers that you can get nowhere else. John chapter 14, verse 20 says, "His peace I leave with you, my peace I give unto you." This is Christ speaking. "Not as the what? World giveth, give I unto you. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid." Message of Christmas is a message of harmony and peace with God. Peace between God and man because we're reconciled and now we're related. It's a peace in the heart of believers because you can get it nowhere else. It comes from God. He's the God of all peace. It's a peace in the heart of believers that's like nothing else. And if you know Jesus Christ, you say, you know I'm telling you the truth. You can have peace when things aren't going your way. You can have peace when there is no hope in the world. Philippians chapter 4, verse 7, it says, "The peace of God which passeth all understanding shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus." Oh, we need that peace. That's the message of Christmas. peace in the heart of believers that you can get nowhere else except through Jesus Christ. It's a peace that is like nothing else because God gives it. And we can't figure it out in our finite beings. And it's a peace that leads like nothing else. You know, David writes in Psalm 23, he says, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, thou art with me. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. You prepare a table before me in the midst of my enemies. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. It's a peace that leads like nothing else. Colossians chapter 3, verse 15, it says, and let the peace of God rule in your heart, to the which also ye are called in one body, and be ye thankful. We need gratefulness in this world. And when Christmas presents are open, you don't have gift envy. I wish I had that. No. We should have gift worship. Thank you, God, for your unspeakable gift. So it's peace between man and God. It's peace in the heart of believers. It's peace for the world. In verse 14 of our text, it says, and on earth peace, goodwill to men. This is what God wants. Isaiah 9, verse 7 says, and of the increase of the government and his what? Peace shall be no end. And upon the throne of David, and upon his kingdom, to order it, to establish it with judgment and with justice from henceforth, even forever. The zeal of the Lord of hosts will perform this. This is what he wants. Why don't people just wake up and turn their lives to God? And you can know his peace. Why can't Christians turn our lives to God and get rid of all the stuff that's between us? That's peace. Why can't we have peace? We need revival. It's what God wants. It's what God will do. In Micah chapter 4, verse 3, he says that he shall judge among many people and rebuke strong nations afar off. And they shall beat their swords into plowshares and their spears into pruning hooks. Nation shall not lift up a sword against nation, neither shall they learn war anymore. And that's coming, folks. Yeah. That's coming when Christ returns. Message of harmony. Peace for the world is what God wants. It's what God will do. You can have that peace today. Thirdly, is the message of heaven. It's a message of hell. It's salvation through Jesus Christ. If Christ had not come, we would still be doing animal sacrifices. Amen. We would still be looking forward to this. But salvation through Jesus Christ, and that's in his person. Matthew chapter 1, verse 21, and it says, and she shall bring forth a son. This is talking to Joseph. And thou shalt call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people and us from their sins. It's this passion. It's this passion. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. It's his plea. Luke chapter 19, verse 10 says, for the Son of Man has come. He's come! It's Christmas! It's the message of Christmas! Christ has come! For the Son of Man has come to seek and to save that which was lost. There's a lot of people that don't even know that they're lost. The Bible says in John, men dog darkness rather than light. come to this conclusion. I don't like to suffer. I like things to go well. I like hope. I don't understand why people will continue to live that way. And God's got the answer. Salvation is a free gift. It's a gift that's needed. Romans chapter 6, verse 23 says, "For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life or heaven through Jesus Christ our Lord." If Jesus didn't come as a little babe and live a life and die on the cross, we would be hopeless, in darkness. Oh, you need that today. Are you living without hope? Are you living in darkness today? Are you disillusioned about what's going on in the world today? Do you have a relationship with Jesus? Salvation is a free gift. It's offered, it, but it's not owed to us. There's a lot of people try to work their way and be on your best behavior. That's for Santa Claus. It's not for Christ. We're depraved. We need God's mercy. We don't deserve it. We need God's grace. We don't deserve it. It's about, not owed. Ephesians chapter 2, verses 8 and 9 says, "For by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of your what? Selves. It is a gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast." Titus chapter 3, verse 5 says, "Not by works of righteousness, which we have done, but according to his mercy, he saved us by the washing of regeneration and renewing of the Holy Ghost." Oh, salvation is something that's needed. Salvation is something that is offered. And God doesn't owe it to you. That's what a gift is. Something that we don't expect. It's a message of help, and salvation is available to all. It is God's will. 1 Timothy chapter 2, verse 4 says, "Who will have all men to be saved and to come into the knowledge of the truth?" It's based in God's word. And it's God's invitation. In Revelation chapter 22, verse 17, the Bible closes with this. It says, "And the spirit of the bride say, come. And let him that hears say, come. And let him that is athirst come. And whosoever will, let him take of the water of life freely." It's God's work, not yours. Romans chapter 10, verse 13 says this, "For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved."
Amen.
Let's go back to the text. The shepherds heard the message of the angel, the message from God. They went and they saw exactly how God said it was going to be. They went. And they started telling people, "Hey, we saw God's message in action as a little baby in the manger. The Messiah has come." Mary ponders it in her heart. And many listened. But why wasn't the revival there? Because we just don't have a long-term lookout. Kind of like toys. Get a toy about the day after you're either tired of it or it's broken. And you go, "Man, it's not useful anymore." Why did that message not get promoted? That the Messiah had come, just as it was prophesied, in the place where it was prophesied, at the time it was prophesied. People just didn't care because the message was lost. Don't let the message of Christmas be lost this year. Don't let it be lost in your life. Accept it today. Let it give you hope. Let it give you harmony. Let it give you help. All those things you can find in God and in God alone. Oh, please turn to him today. Let's stand. Heavenly Father, Lord, we just thank you for this day. We thank you for this time. We thank you for what you've done, and we thank you for the message of Christmas. Help us, Lord, to live for you and to give ourselves as living sacrifices for you this time. Father, I pray if someone does not know you as Savior, Lord, I pray that they heard this message and they would receive the free gift of salvation. Father, for us, help us to be true to you. We ask these things in Jesus' name.
Amen.